You're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada.
All right. Hey, I'm going to invite you back to a seat here. There's no video intro today because we were going to have Pastor Billy Calderwood, who is our district. He works for the Foursquare Western District. He was going to be with us today speaking, but his son has some kind of nerve or muscular condition, and he's been in and out of the hospital before. I cannot remember his son's name, so I'm not going to tell you that. But unfortunately, he was in the hospital again recently, and so we offered to Billy that we could cover if he needed to be with his family and his son. So I wanted to start first by lifting him and his family up in prayer. So if you would join with me in that. Heavenly Father, God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we just lift up Billy and his son, Lord, and the entire Calderwood family, God. We just pray that you would be with them. Lord, as we're preparing to talk about your peace and finding peace, God, I pray that your peace would just wash over them, Lord, over their entire family, God. I pray for the doctors, for Billy, for his son, Lord, for anyone involved in making decisions for his care, Lord, that you would just give them wisdom and discernment, God, and work through them to bring him healing, God. We believe that you can heal. So, Lord, we just ask that in the name of Jesus, God, and we just trust and we pray that in this situation, whatever it may be, God, that your glory and your power would be shown in it, Father. So we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So instead, we are going to talk about camp. We're going to bring our trip at camp. You're going to get to hear from the kids, and I'm going to share a little bit kind of what the main messages were from camp, turn it into a message mixed with, I think, encouragement, hearing from them. But first, I just want to say I learned so much at camp. For instance, I learned that Crocs were in again, so I may have kind of agreed to preach in Crocs, so here we are in my Crocs. I learned how to say, dude. Yes, I learned that, first slide here, first picture here, I learned that in the room we stayed in, maybe, Sean Lear peed in this bunk. Yeah. So, I don't know. I already knew that purple is the best color, but that was confirmed at camp when Team Purple won the games. Here we have Team Purple. I didn't take a ton of pictures this year because I just found myself too busy being involved in all the stuff. I was like, didn't think, oh, I should stop and take a picture. So this actually, there was a day that we were even more purple because we got paint and like we were all, but this was the first day, so we were really hyped up. And I got in on it too, although the picture, I don't know why it turned sideways, but there's a picture of me hyped up for purple also. So we were all hyped up. You can go back to the group one for a sec because I thought, you know, what a better way to get you guys in the mood and like the youth, like bring out your inner young person, get in that camp mood, because what would youth group or youth camp be without games, right? So we're going to play one of the quick kind of time filler camp games. It's really easy, really simple, and I have prizes. So I have these color-changing tumblers filled with some fine European chocolates. At least that's what the box said, fine European chocolates. So this game, it's very simple. It's called Bring Me A, okay? So I'm going to say Bring Me A, and then I'll say a thing, and the first person to come up here with that thing will get a prize. So it's really easy. Look, I see people getting prepared already. I love it. Okay, here we go. We'll start really easy, really easy. Ready? Bring me a Bible. Oh, Stacy's. Oh. Oh, I don't know. Stacy's is paper. Here, you would. No. All right. I like that. All right, this is going so much better than I thought. Okay. If you already won. Okay, well, okay. All right, bring me a pair of glasses. I love this game. Yes. Woo. Here we go.
All right.
This is so good. Okay. He's going to, okay. All right. Wow, I didn't think enough ahead. All right. Bring me a rapper. Woo, Elise! I think that was Elise. Oh, I don't know. I think Elise was here. You guys, this is great. This is too fun. All right. I don't know, man. Bring me a sandal. Oh, yeah. Wow. Jamie. Jamie's got it. I have, let's see. You're really testing me. What's John? Oh, yeah. Okay, bring me a water bottle. Diane! Diane's moving! My goodness. Y'all, this is hilarious. You are way more excited. Okay, I think we get it, right? That was fun. I think we're in the mood. Wow. So, I'm excited. That was so fun. All right, so peace. Now we're going to talk about peace. I don't know what the students are going to share with up here or what is going to come out of this, but I have a feeling it's going to be really good because, let me tell you, the second that, you know, I'm talking about peace, we're getting prepared to talk about the peace of God, and, like, the enemy was totally trying to disrupt this morning because during rehearsal, there was weird stuff going on. The sound was, like, crazy, and then during, like, worship, you saw Chris broke a string. I, like, hurt my finger in that thing. I had to, like, switch hands and, like, play one-handed. I don't know if you noticed, but it was way more awkward than I was expecting to try to switch hands. So I just feel like the enemy was trying to disrupt whatever is going to happen today, but we're not going to let it happen, right? So I want to give a chance for all of our students that if you're here and you went to camp, they couldn't all be here, but we have a good amount of them here. So if you want to come up and share a little bit about what you guys experienced, we would do that. Here they come. Yeah, it was really an incredible time. So we had 13 students go. So this is a pretty good group here that we get to hear from. So here is what I want to hear from you guys is share your name. How about your name and what grade you're going to be in the school year? And then like a highlight from camp, anything that you learned or something you feel like God spoke to you. Something you're taking away. Yeah, good. What end do you want to start on? That was quick. Yeah, that's okay. I have full confidence that Haley is going to share something awesome.
Okay, so I guess my favorite part about camp was, oh, right. I'm Haley, and I'm going into ninth grade this school year. So my favorite part about camp this year was playing all the games with my team, and that was really fun. And before camp, I heard a word popped up into my mind, which was always, and I was struggling to know that that was God. And so at camp, I kept hearing, I will always be with you, and that I should always trust God going into high school.
Hi, I'm Kaitlee. I'm 12. I'm going in.
Stop laughing at me.
These girls.
I'm going into seventh grade. I think my favorite part about camp was, first of all, the experience, and second, cheering my team on, because I didn't actually play any of the games, but it was fun to cheer them on.
My name is Ellie. I'm going into ninth grade. And my favorite part about camp was Victory Circle. And my favorite thing that Pastor Mike had mentioned was what's popular isn't always right, and what's right isn't always popular.
My name is Lindy, and I'm going into seventh grade. And my favorite part of camp was also Victory Circle, when I had to eat the most cereal in the least amount. Dry Raisin Bran.
With her hands behind her back.
I think
she ate more hair than she did Raisin
Bran. Yeah, I ate more hair because I was begging for a hair tie. So I ate my hair. So that was...
Hi, I'm Zoe. I'm 12 and I'm going into 8th grade, and I really liked worship at camp.
Hello, I'm Valen. I'm going into 9th grade, and probably my favorite was probably the experience, because before I went, I was having doubts about God, because I am pretty lazy when it comes to that because of how busy I am. So once I went, and with all these amazing people, I was like, this is so much fun. And also, it was not just fun being with them, but it was also fun hearing him talking to me and saying, don't let anybody ruin this, because, you know, I was my goofy self the whole time. I didn't care if anyone didn't like the way I was acting or something. It was just like, if you don't like me, that's your problem.
Yeah. I was like, being comfortable in who God made you to be. Yeah. Yeah. We don't have to pretend. I like that. Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Give it up. How awesome. I got to spend 5 days with these ladies and more. Slept in the same room with all of them. And I will be happy to report that none of them snore. So, yeah. All right. You're good. Thank you. Yeah. Peace. So that's what we're going to talk about. I want to start with our camp verse, which and a lot of these, I'm going to use some of like the translation that we use at camp for and the kids, because I like some of the language in those. So our camp verse was Romans 15:13, and which Vay had, she had to get back to the computer because she's so cool that she serves and goes to camp and talks up, shares up here. Super cool. So Romans 15:13, this was our camp verse, and it's, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're going to talk about today a little bit. First, the first part of this verse being that our source of finding peace in him, Jesus being our source of peace. And then a little later, we're going to talk in the end about that living in the power of the Holy Spirit. So the first thing we talked about at camp in the first night was our source of peace, and that Jesus is our source of peace. And that this battle for peace, or, you know, a lot of people, especially in the last couple years, but in this generation of young people, there's been such a rise in anxiety and worry. You know, we're hearing it all the time. And in that battle for peace or anxiousness and worry, it all starts in our minds. We hear lies from the enemy, from the world, and we believe lies, whether it be you're not good enough, or you know, there's something wrong with you, or you need to do a certain thing to be liked or to be popular or to have fun or find enjoyment, right? These lies. And then they affect the way that we think, our thoughts. And our thoughts then, like, we start to believe those things. They start to become the things that we say, and then it starts to become the way that we live. In John 10:10, it says, you know, how the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Christ came that we could have life and life to the full. So this difference between the lies of the enemy doing, like, trying to take over our minds and our thoughts in order to steal, kill, and destroy. But God is saying, on the other hand, I want to give you life. And so how can we move from those lies into finding the peace and life to the fullest? A reoccurring theme from camp, especially towards the beginning, was this idea that our thoughts determine our words, your words determine your actions, and your actions determine the direction for your life. So we really challenged the students to examine, and this is true for us, like, it spoke to the leaders too, and for all of you, I hope, right, that, like, examine, are you happy with the direction of your life? Are you happy with the direction your life is going, and with the direction that your thoughts are taking you, or your actions are taking you? And if there are, you know, actions that you're not happy with, behaviors, then it probably comes back to, what are your words? Are there words you're not happy with? And, or are there just thoughts? Are you just stuck in your mind? Are there anxious thoughts, negative thoughts, sinful thoughts that are a struggle to you, that you're not happy with, that are stealing your peace? And Romans 12:2 says, do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So if we're not happy with our thoughts, the good news is that Jesus wants to change the way that we think. It all starts in our minds. Most of life's battles are won and lost in your mind. So how can we fight this battle, right? What kind of battle is this? Well, in Corinthians, Paul writes that though we live in this world, we don't wage war as the world does. This battle in our mind, it's not like an earthly war, right? The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments, lies, right? Every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take captive every thought. So this search, this finding peace in Christ, it starts by getting your mind right. It all starts in our minds, right? Our thoughts determine our words determine our actions set the direction for our life. So we have to start by getting our mind right. If we want to change our direction, we have to get our minds right. You know, we try to find peace at all costs, and kind of talked about this a couple weeks ago in that idea of finding contentment, same idea, right? We search for it in the wrong thing. Like, we try to find it at all costs, but we go to the wrong sources. And sometimes it may bring us temporary peace or joy or whatever, but it's not lasting. We go back to that anxiety, that anxiousness, the worry, the lies, believing what the enemy is telling us. So our big idea of the first night service, you know, he gave us a big idea every night. And he said that our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Proverbs 23:7 says that, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So mind, like a man is as he thinks, so he is. That's how you live. So change your mind and the rest will follow. Change your mind, the rest will follow. And the fact is that all of us at some point, right, we have to reset our direction. Because without Christ, we're all going in the wrong direction. Romans 3:23 says that for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standards. And Romans, so everyone, right? We all need that reset of direction. We're all going in the wrong direction. But luckily, Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So we're all going in that direction. We all need a reset. We all need that gift from Christ. So after we get our minds right, we can set our direction, right? We need to reset our direction. We can start over today. We encourage the students at camp, you know, like you can start, you can reset your direction today. The lies, the behaviors, the past that you're taking captive right now, that first night, I could really see things stirring up in the students. Whether it be lies they were believing, thoughts, they were struggling with anxiety or fear, or maybe they were doing things they knew they shouldn't be doing, feeling conviction, whatever it was stirring up in them, right? We were just encouraging them. Those things, the past, we can take that captive, and it does no longer matters. We can leave those things behind, and in fact, we're instructed to leave those things behind. Hebrews 12:1 says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." Leave behind the extra weight. Leave the extra weight behind. All that stuff, those lies you've believed for so long, anything that's been causing you anxiousness or anguish, Lord, just leave that behind. We can start fresh. We can start new. We can strip off that weight. I think he calls it the sin that so easily trips us up. And to me, I thought of this as those things like which we ignore, so those weights we're carrying around that we kind of pretend aren't there, or we convince ourselves aren't there, but they keep coming back up. As much as we ignore them, they're still slowing us down. And actually, this night at camp, that he shared this, like, I was super, like, this hit me in a way that there were things, like, I had thought that those weights were gone. And I explained it as, like, it's like you have a ball and chain, and, like, you had this thing that was weighing you down. And, like, over time, through, like, people around me, through God, through pouring in, you know, like, trusting it to God and through tools, I had, like, whittled through the chain links. And the ball was gone, right? But I had, like, the part that's hooked around your leg, and there's, like, a couple links where you cut through. Those were still there. And I'm, like, carrying it around. But since that big weight was gone, I was like, oh, that's, like, the easy part, right? And then I convinced myself, like, I had gotten rid of the rest of it. But I hadn't, and I became so aware of this, like, the chain links that I was still pulling. So I found that I didn't know how much of this I was going to work in testimony or whatever, how it was going to work out, but I feel like I'm supposed to go a little more into this. So that third night of camp, as he was talking about this, and things were hitting me, and I was so distracted towards the end of the service, they have response time and all the students went up, and I went up and I prayed over the girls up there, and then none of them asked for a specific prayer, and I knew, like, I was kind of distracted that whole time because I knew that God was trying to tell me something. And so, and I didn't fully know what it was, and I knew I needed to seek prayer. So they have camp pastors for the leaders there. And so I knew that, you know, when the girls left, they went out to Victory Circle, which is like the late night games and stuff. And so they went out, and I found the female pastor, and I just, like, told her kind of what was going on, and I needed prayer, and she pulled another woman over. And, I mean, it ended up being, like, this incredible thing of, like, realizing, like, what true freedom, like, I thought I had found, like, relative freedom, but realizing that there was more, and I wasn't living in full freedom. And things that just, like, I released, and I named things for the first time, like, things that was one thing in this idea of, like, those thoughts that you need, or whatever it is, those lies that you want to leave behind, we have to be able to name them. And so we encourage them to identify the biggest stronghold, the biggest action, thought, lie, whatever that was holding them back. Because you can't defeat what you can't define. And so encouraging them to name it. And I had to do the same thing because I was ignoring something because I was afraid of, like, facing. There was a fear I was holding on to, but I was trying to push down. And I hadn't named it. And the first time, like, when I just named it to those women and, like, things, like, it just, like, fell off, right? And I found such relief and, like, a fresh, like, freedom and anointing that I went into that fourth night just so free and able to focus fully on the students and what God was doing. And I'm going to get to that later of, like, what God did that night. It was incredible. But, man, it's so important to examine that. Like, are you still carrying around any weights? Like, leave the extra weight behind. And name it, because you can't defeat what you can't define. And then once we define it, we have to speak truth to destroy the lies. We light up the darkness, right? In John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. So how do we speak truth to destroy the lies? Jesus, his words, they're truth. And John 8, 32, right? You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So what is the truth, right? It's in here. God's word. So if there's lies that we need to destroy, we destroy them with truth, but it also means you're going to have to crack open the word and know the truth, right? And this is what I was really encouraging students to do. I led a workshop, one of the workshops while we were at camp, and it was a prayer hike. And really my emphasis on this hike was that, digging into, I would encourage them, okay, whatever God has stirred up in you, or, you know, depending on what day, like on day one or the last couple days at camp, whatever he's stirring up. Now, it's not just enough to be aware of it, right? But I want to encourage you, we're going to go on this hike and we're going to spend time in quiet silence, because if you, those things, like the Holy Spirit leads us, but we then have to stop and take time to listen and let him lead us to the root. Like maybe they didn't exactly know what the lie was. Maybe they were just like, oh, I know I have anxious thoughts over this thing, or I know I'm doing this thing I don't want to be doing. Well, you need to lean into that and take time to let the Holy Spirit lead you to the root. What is the lie at the root of it? So that we can replace it with the truth. And so I encourage them to just listen and let God lead them in that as we walked. And then, you know, if they got to that root, what the lie was, what is the appropriate truth that you can replace it with? And if you don't know it, right, like find somebody who does. I told you, know, find your leader, talk to me. But for you guys, can be like, talk to each other, or just like crack open the word, right, and find the truth that can destroy that lie. I liked this. He told the kids, because a lot of the focus was on that fear and anxiety, and he said, kick anxiety and fear in the face. I liked that. So how can we throw off that weight and live in peace and freedom? We know we have to do it, but how do we do that? Well, that verse about stripping off the weight, it continues on in Hebrews 12:2. We do this. Well, he gives us instructions right there. Nice. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. And he used this example of when Peter walked on water, right? He gets out of the boat and he's walking, and then what? And then all of a sudden, like this, the waves kind of kick up, right? The storm. And then what's he do? He looks away from Jesus. And what happens the second he looks away from Jesus? He sinks. He starts sinking, right? We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. That is how we do this. That's how we can leave those weights behind. Otherwise, when we look off, when we take our eyes off of him, those weights start to pull us back down, start to slow us down again. And so we encourage them in that, when you're looking at Jesus, that your choices matter. This is where it came up, what Ellie shared, right? That what's popular isn't always right, and what's right isn't always popular. We can't be worried about what's popular. We have to be worried about keeping our focus on Jesus. And we ask them, you know, challenge them. What are you putting in? What are you looking at? What are your eyes focused on? What kind of things are you following, looking on social media, watching on TV, YouTube? What kind of company are you keeping? Who are the people that are, you know, your closest circle? Who are those people? Are they people that are speaking life into you, or are they people that are pulling you into the lies? It's not bad to be around those people, but what's your closest circle, right? And what's popular isn't always right. What's right isn't always popular. But after all, who are we trying to please? Are we trying to please the world? Or, like Paul said in Galatians, he said, am I trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? He said, if I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. We're not looking for the world's approval. We're looking for God's approval. So this importance of once we do that, once we leave the weight behind and we reset our direction, in order to stay in that direction, we have to guard our hearts. Because Proverbs says that, guard your heart because everything you do flows from it. Look at what kind of company you're keeping, right? Because Corinthians says, bad company corrupts good character. That was one of my dad's favorite verses growing up to tell to his children. Bad company corrupts good character. Or he would say, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Another way to say that, right? Or his cliche way, birds of a feather flock together. And so the condition of your heart affects every area of your life. Who you are on the inside affects how you live on the outside, right? Jesus tells a parable about trees being recognized by their fruit, right? We don't pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So everything, the condition of your heart, everything on the inside affects the outside. And does that sound difficult? Does it sound difficult to focus only on Jesus and forget like the world around you? Because the world can be so loud, right? Well, it's okay. No worries. Because 2 Peter says this in 2 Peter 1:3. He said, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So if it sounds difficult, don't worry. We have everything we need to live this godly life through Christ Jesus. It says his divine power. That power is in you. That's something I also felt at camp, like really trying to encourage the students. That last night during worship, before the message, we sang a song called Champion. And I love that song. And as soon as it started, I felt like the atmosphere for me just like went up a notch, like shifted. And there in the bridge of that song, it says, when I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority Jesus has given me. And in those lines, I opened my eyes at the point because I had been worshiping. I opened my eyes and I saw all these students worshiping, saying that, I have the authority Jesus has given me. And I was overwhelmed by this idea of some of these students don't understand what that means. They don't understand the power of what they're saying right here. And I end up running up on stage and I grabbed the mic and the band brought it down and I just shared that. Like when we were singing that chorus, I just felt so strongly that you guys need to know what you're saying, like what that means. I have the authority Jesus has given me. That means that whatever has been going on, whatever's been stirring up in your heart that you've been struggling with, that you've been trying to leave behind this week, like this says that you have authority, that that thing has no right. Jesus said in Luke to his disciples, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. And I was like, do you understand that? Nothing can harm you. And so I told them, we're going to sing that again. And we did. And I said, but I want you to think about that. I want you to claim that authority and tell that thing, tell the enemy, you have no right here. You can be here no longer. In the name of Jesus, be gone. And just try and get them to understand that power that they have access to. And that night, the message was about living in that power, living in power. That power that is available to all of us who ask, right? The Holy Spirit is in us. We have that power in our lives to overcome the enemy, just like Jesus has, because he already did it. It's available to all who ask, right? Luke 11:10, it says, everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. And it then goes on to say how God gives us, like how fathers give good gifts to their kids, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to us? Our Father in heaven, right? And we have that Holy Spirit in us for this purpose, to help us, because it says in John 16:13 that the Spirit of truth will guide us in all truth. Well, we've just talked about how the truth is how we knock out the lies and how we find peace. So the Holy Spirit, he gives us the Holy Spirit to find that peace. He's our guide to that peace. And he gives us supernatural wisdom and insight. Wherever we're at, however old you are, right? For them in their schools, in their sports teams, in whatever activities. For us, it's in our homes, in our workplaces, you know, whatever it is. Even for them in their homes, the students, they don't have to be the one. They can bring peace and speak life into their homes too, even as kids, right? Wherever you are, that's where God can lead you. That's where the Holy Spirit can lead you in that place, right? That is our mission field. It can be wherever we are. And the Holy Spirit helps us to listen and obey, because we have to learn to listen and obey the voice of God. And knowing the voice of God, being able to hear it, right, it requires, like, being familiar with it, reading his word, right? That's how you're going to be able to understand the voice of God. We talked about the importance of understanding and obeying, not only hearing the voice of God, but obeying. And that goes back into also, you know, encouraging them on those hikes to be still and listen for that voice, because it's not always this audible, loud thing, right? We have to stop and be able to listen to it. And then not only listen, but do what it says. So in addition to that power in us, that Holy Spirit leading us in our lives, right? Then we move on to, from once he helps you find peace in your life, well, now we are become peace to the world around us. It's not just for us. In Acts 1:8, says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. And note the word on, right? We have the Holy Spirit in us. That's the saving work of God, and it helps us get our lives, right? Find freedom and peace. But then it says the Holy Spirit on you, not just in you, but on you. What does that mean, right? And we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This idea that you're so full of the Holy Spirit that it's pouring out and it's on you and it can't help but get on others around you. God wants to fill you. Our big idea this night was God wants to fill you with dynamic power through the Holy Spirit to be a witness for his kingdom with your words and actions, living out his peace. Dynamic. The word for power in that verse is dunamis. It means dynamic. It's the root word for what becomes dynamite, like explosive power, all right? The power of the Holy Spirit in you and on you is explosive. And we talked about this as the idea of living inside out living. It's living from the power of God dwelling inside you, that power that you had access to change your life, living from that power to then impact the world around you. We use the story of Gideon and this idea that he felt like he wasn't enough, and he asked God, like, who am I? He said, I'm the lowest of the tribe of my father, and we're like the least of tribes. Like, I'm the least of least, right? Who am I to lead our people to victory? And he tested God, reassured him time after time. And he stripped down his army to this tiny size, right? But he basically said, you bring what you have, and I'll put in the rest. I like that. Willie says, good deal. That is a good deal, right? You bring what you have, whatever that is, and God says, I'll bring the rest. You don't have to be the best and have enough, right? Because I bring the rest. He takes our weaknesses and he turns them into strength. So how do we live inside out? In Ephesians 1, he writes, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those who called. His holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This same mighty power, the power that we have, this same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. That same power that raised Christ from the dead, that has placed him far above anything else, he's defeated all things, we have that power. So we just have to change our perspective to understand that, to not see things from my vantage point, but to see him from God's vantage point, who is seated on the throne above all things. And that is the same power that we have. So we can live inside out, impacting the world around us by having that perspective. He's overcome the world. That's the same power we have. So here's what I'm sure. Like, normally, you know, we come to the end of a message, and Louis always likes to say, what are we doing with this? Well, in this very unique opportunity, I get to say, since this message has already been shared and I already got to see our students, what I saw them doing with it. How did they respond? And we encourage the students the last day also, like, go home changed was the message, right? All these things, like, that God, that, like, the things that you've destroyed and leave behind, don't take them home with you, right? Go home, change, and live in that power. So the fourth night, right, in our response time, the last evening service, they called the leaders up, and they gave an opportunity for the students to come down and just whatever God was hearing, like, to be prayed over, and how you want to be different, go home changed, you know? And so when they came up, Joey had to leave, unfortunately, because he had to work the next morning really early, so it was just me and our 13 students. And so I told them when they all came up, you know, they're in a bunch, I said, I know it's going to take a long time, but I really feel led to pray for each of you, like, one-on-one, over each of you individually. Unless, like, you want somebody else with you. But even then, you know, two of them, when we prayed for together, I still prayed for them separately. And in that, I told them, you know, how we talked about. He said, he who asks, finds, seeks, he will find. It wasn't ask. If you ask, we answered. There we go. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. I said, it's one thing if I just start praying over you. But it's another thing if you express. You ask. Express what you want to ask God for. What is he telling you? And then I'm going to agree with you in prayer and pray it over you. And this was the night after they had also come forward to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit if they felt led. And so the presence of the Holy Spirit was very strong. And I would ask them what they wanted, and 12 of them ended up coming up for prayer. And, a couple of them said, you know, oh, I don't know, when I asked, like, for something specific. And they didn't really share anything specific, and I tried to pull it out of them, but I prayed over them anyway. And then some of them, you know, if they said something general, like, I just don't want this to end, or I don't want to lose this, or I want to keep this going when I go home, and I kind of ask, like, more specific, like, what is it? And I try to pull out something specific, And when I got to something, I'm like, okay, I can work with that. I can agree with that. And I just began to speak it over them. And it was incredible. I have never felt that strong. Like, I mean, God's given me, like, words to share with people, but 12 times that night, I prayed over students and felt like God was giving me prophetic words to speak to them. And some of those students, when they were sharing what it was that they wanted, the presence of the Holy Spirit was so strong with them. Like, a couple of the students I was praying over were, like, dripping in the Holy Spirit. And I would place my hand on their heart here and on their shoulder, and it was so loud. So I'm, like, yelling in their ear. That's why I lost my voice. And a couple of them, as I had my hand here, and I felt, like, tears hitting my hand, and it was so powerful and so moving. And we have students that, let me tell you, like, their schools are not ready for them when they come back. Like, they're not prepared because those kids love Jesus so much, and I just know they can't help but be witnesses. There's students that, like, one girl that's, like, the quietest, you would think, oh, she's, like, the quietest, one of the quietest girls you ever met, super reserved, but I gotta tell you, that girl has words. God's gonna speak words through her. She wanted to speak more boldly about Jesus, and when I was praying over her, I just felt like she's gonna share, like, so to so many people, and just pray that her mouth would just be opened and God's words would just pour out. And I know that it's going to happen. And students who have such gifts, some servants, servant-hearted people who are just gonna care for people in the way that Jesus cares for people. Students who are gonna preach. One student specifically that the word, like, I was praying, and then the word preach came out, and I was like, that wasn't a mistake. She's going to preach. I don't know the context, but it's going to happen. Students who are just encouragers, they could build each other up. One kid who's so magnetic, like, he just draws people to him by his, like, joy, right? And that drawing people to him is just then going to point them to Jesus, because he's got so many people just, they're going to be like, man, there's going to be these kids. They're going to go into their schools or in their homes, whatever it is. People are going to say, there's something different about them. I don't remember them being like this. Or they're different than everybody else. And why is that? Their friends, their peers are going to want to be around them because of that, because of the Holy Spirit that's coming off of them. And I'm really, really excited for what they're going to do. I don't know. So that's, yeah, what it looks like for our students. Actually, I wanted to show, I have a picture of someone's notes. I thought it was the coolest thing. I was sitting next to her in service, and I was like, holy cow, this is awesome. I just wanted to, like, how God was speaking to them and how they see things. I write notes, and I'm not artistic, creative, right? I just, like, write notes. But I saw this, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. The creativity that God, like, speaks to them through, and how, like, they turned in, you know, there was a quote, the windshield, or what's in the windshield? The windshield is bigger than the rearview mirror, was the quote, because what's in front of you is, where you're going is far more important than where you've been. And she, like, turned it into this car in the bottom, right? Like, just super, super cool. And I can't help, like, the more I think about this, the more I feel like, wow, God's gonna reach people through, like, the way that she can glorify God through art and, like, creativity. It's like, I see it here, right? I'm just so excited to see what they do with these things. And I also felt like I had this challenge thinking about our group. And can you put the group pick up? I want you guys to see this, because I want you to see all the faces of the students who were there, because these are the faces of the people that, like, you had a part in this, whether you, like, helped sponsor a kid, or even if you just prayed, partnered in prayer for this camp, like, the things that they experienced and the things that God did in them, that's happened because of your prayers. So these faces, like, you touched them. You helped God, like, reach them in huge ways. And you had a part in that. And then the people that they then are going to reach when they go into their schools and when they continue in their life, when they start using those gifts, their music, when they start preaching, when they start using, you know, art, whatever it is, the people they reach through that is also because of your prayers. I had, like, new vision also, because our group's a little different. You know, some of them go to other churches, but they come to camp with us because maybe their church doesn't have one, or they can't get here every week, whatever it is. But and so there's a little bit of challenge there. Is how do we keep this together, this group, encouraging each other? How do I continue my relationships with them when I don't necessarily get to see them at church every week or at youth group? And I felt like God was showing me, you know, a new direction to go. Like, we're still going to have the youth group, but in addition to that, I think there's a little bit more like the way that I used to be as a small group leader when I did a small group at the mega church I was at for a high school small group was just hanging out with them. So, you know, I just want to do more of that. Just every couple weeks, get together. We went thrift shopping on Friday, thrift shopping in Froyo, and it was super fun. And just getting to connect with them, keeping that relationship there, and just encouraging them in their lives and keeping them connected also so they're continuing to build each other up. I also felt like in their schools. So some of them are homeschooled, but a lot of them go to other schools. And so I asked them, you know, do you know, like, if you have a Christian group on your campus or a Christian club, if you do, like, I can come get involved in it. If you don't, all I need is a student to invite me and partner with me, and I can help you start something, and I'll be there. Like, we'll do it. And so I'm really excited to see where God goes with that and how, through my relationship with them also, he opens up new doors into our community, into Reno, into schools, and how we can partner together and reach more students. I wanted to share also a little bit about some of the things, the takeaways. So we had 13 kids go, and during camp we had two that they asked Jesus to be their Savior for the first time. We had 8 out of 13 that rededicated their lives to Jesus. We had 3 students who experienced physical healing, and 4 who said they experienced healing in another way, like a spiritual, emotional healing. We had 6 who marked that they had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. However, I can tell you that when I prayed over them the 4th night, there were 2 students who didn't mark it who absolutely were overflowing with the Holy Spirit. So perhaps it just wasn't maybe they had been baptized prior. So that puts it at 8. And this, I think, might be the most exciting for me because I also know it's super true and it's so important to be able to hear the voice of God. But 7 of them said that they received a word from God. One of them wrote on their card, their story was, God told me what he wants me to do with my life. How big is that? We have 2 that feel called towards missions, more about missions. And 11 out of 13 of them said that they felt called to grow in their relationship with Jesus. So I want to encourage you towards, like, the part you played in that, and also ask you to continue. It doesn't stop here, right? But they want to grow. And so just continue praying that they would be able to grow and that those opportunities would open up. Pray that God would continue to give me that vision and show me how to connect with them and how to reach more students through them. I'm still kind of riding a high. It was so incredible. And it took me a long time to get my voice back. It's probably still not like 100% because I came home and I was so excited. I just wanted to talk about what happened, right? So I just kept telling people, and but it's back now. So, I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I know the students, thank you, and their parents, thank you, and everyone else that was there, thanks you for your prayers and what you did. And I also hope that you can, maybe through this message, maybe there's some things that you're thinking about, weights that you might be carrying, and finding peace and living in the power of the Holy Spirit. So I will pray for us, and then there will be prayer available in the back. Chris will be back there. I might jump back there because I think our other person isn't here. And then so we'll be back there to pray with you, and then I'll bless you. But Heavenly Father, Father, I just thank you so much for what you did at camp, God. I thank you for the students that just love you so much. What a blessing they were. What a joy to be around and to hang out with, God. I thank you that you have given me the opportunity to know them and to speak into their lives, God. They're a blessing to me too. And they tell me all the cool things like getting Crocs. And God, I just thank you so much for what you did. And I thank you for this church body who partnered, Lord, in prayer to impact them, Lord, to lift them up. God, I pray that you would just continue to work through their prayers, God, into the lives of our young people, Lord. I pray that you would keep this going, Lord. Whatever it is that you started in them, that it wouldn't stop, that they would continue to grow in their relationships with you, in their relationships with each other, God, that they would encourage each other, that they would go into their schools and reach their friends, Lord. Their schools, their teams, Lord, whatever it is, whatever their context is, God. And I pray for our church body, Lord, that they would also hear this message of peace, God, that your peace would just wash over them, Father, that they would be able to root out the lies of the enemy, God, and replace it with your truths, that we'd be rooted in your word and your truth, Father, that we would keep our eyes on you, Lord, and that we would leave behind the weight and just live in the power of the Holy Spirit to the world around us. Yes, we thank you for all of these things, Lord. And I just pray this blessing. If you could throw that up. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. How appropriate of an ending, right? Peace be with you, and we will see you next week.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us via email at web@hillside4.org. That's W-E-B @hillside4.org.